Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. And what is normally a slow time in sports, I feel like every day to start the show, something big happens. Whether it's Kyler Murray declares for the NFL draft and fully focuses on the NFL. Whether it's Kareem Hunt signing a one-year deal with the Cleveland Browns. Today, it is Joe Flacco being traded to the Denver Broncos. We'll get to that momentarily, but it is The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. Our guy Brandon Kiley will continue to learn more about him and Brandon Kiley's random facts. I will give Brandon this. He's getting a little bit better at the pop quiz. I had to crack the whip a little bit because the pop quiz was way too easy. But over the last like 5 or 6 days or so, he's really shown an improvement in the pop quiz.
Here we go.
That's part of the gig, right?
I got to figure out what we're doing for today.
Yeah.
So that's Brandon Kiley. To my right, still donning the blue of the Mill Valley Jaguars, is the only Brad Fanning. How you living today, man?
I'm good, man. I just want to send John Elway a Valentine. Can we do that? We sent John Gruden the thank you card. After you traded Khalil Mack, I feel like we should send John Elway a Valentine today.
I think you absolutely can do that. We'll talk about that coming up momentarily. We'll also give you a chance to win $25 in a gift card to Twin Peaks. We'll do that coming up for the pop quiz. We actually have listened to Denver Sports Talk, so we'll tell you what they're saying about Joe Flacco being traded. We'll talk about Ian Kennedy. My guy, Brad Fanning, is drinking drinking a big gulp of Kyle Zimmer Kool-Aid. Like, man, we haven't even waited until they really started working. Yeah. Everybody's not even in camp yet, but you've already got a backpack full of Kyle Zimmer Kool-Aid. It's actually very cute to see.
I'm going to give you a couple of reasons to root for the guy, honestly, instead of hating on him like we have in the past,
So we got a lot to get into in today's show, but before we get anything going, we got to give you a chance to win a prize.
Yeah, we does. We're doing something really cool here this week, courtesy of my guys over at Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since way back in 1967. We're going to give you a code word at 2 o'clock today and tomorrow. We've given you code words on Monday, Tuesday. We're giving you another one today, and then we'll give you another one on Thursday. So we'll give you this code word again at 5 o'clock. So at 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock, we're giving you a code word. Then on Friday, you got to be the fourth caller to correctly tell us each of the four code words that we've given out, and you can win a $400 prize package from Santa Fe Auto Sound. If you want to get that remote car starter, you want to get an audio upgrade, whatever you want. They got video head. They got all sorts of stuff over at Santa Fe Auto Sound. Great company. Been in downtown OP since 1967. Again, it's a $400 prize package. So the code word today at 2 o'clock is franchise. I'll say it again for you. The code word is franchise. We'll give you that code word again at 5 o'clock. And again, if you're the fourth caller on Friday at the time we tell you, then you're going to have a chance to win that $400 prize package at Santa Fe Auto Sound.
So if you missed it earlier today, reported first by Adam Schefter of ESPN, the Denver Broncos have traded for Joe Flacco. The Broncos have given up their 2019 fourth-round pick. One of the picks that they got for trading trading Demaryius Thomas to the Houston Texans. Here's Adam Schefter on the trade for Joe Flacco.
This is a situation where the Denver Broncos were looking to try to upgrade the quarterback position. And so Denver and was able to reach an agreement in principle with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, their intent is to trade him to Denver. That is the expectation. They cannot process that. The teams are not allowed to discuss compensation. They're not allowed to agree on compensation. But when the trade goes down in March, I think it'll be somewhere around a mid-round draft pick that goes in return for Joe Flacco.
Like, what the hell are they doing here? I love this. I love this from a Kansas City perspective, because I said this a long time ago. I said that John Elway may be one of the best things for Chiefs fans and for the Chiefs, the way he manages the Denver Broncos. I saw this and I'm like, they did what? So you've got, what, the 10th pick in the draft. You've got Case Keenum, and now you traded for Joe Flacco. I mean, Bovada's Super Bowl odds for the Denver Broncos actually got worse after the Flacco deal was announced. They were 100-1 to win the Super Bowl next year. Now they're 125-1. The Denver Broncos are legitimately turning into the Kansas City Chiefs back in the day when the Chiefs didn't win a damn thing. They get you some wins in the regular season, couldn't do a damn thing in the playoffs. I went back and I looked at this just to refresh my memory. When Carl Peterson was here in the 1990s, I don't know, and I would love to know the truth on this. If after the Chiefs got burned in 1983, it came from the top down from the Hunt family, you're not drafting a quarterback in the first round. Because what Carl Peterson basically did, he got you Elvis Gerback and Trent Green, Steve DeBerg, you got you Dave Craig, you got you Steve Bono, and then you had some Joe Montana mixed in there. Look at what John Elway's doing in Denver right now. Tebow, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Brock Osweiler. Now you had Peyton Manning. I'll give you that. Got you to a couple of Super Bowls. And now you got Case Keenum, and you're bringing in Joe Flacco with a huge salary. I think John Elway's either on the hot seat or John Elway's pulling a Carl Peterson and understands that he can't draft a quarterback and he's trying to get a bridge guy. I don't know what the hell the Broncos are doing right now, but I love it.
Have you ever had a friend where he dates a girl and then they break up and then his next girlfriend looks almost exactly like the one he had before?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what John Elway does at quarterback. It seems very obvious to me that he has a certain type of quarterback, a build, a model that he likes. If I had to pick any NFL quarterback who Drew Locke most resembles, I'd probably pick Joe Flacco. Size, arm strength, down the field ability, Joe Flacco is probably the best NFL comparison, I would say, for Drew Locke. If I had to make a comparison for what I thought Brock Osweiler was, you'd probably make a comparison to what you think Joe Flacco is. You'd probably make the same comparison to what you think Paxton Lynch is. He seems to me to be somebody that is so fixated on a type of quarterback that he wants to draft that he cannot look beyond it. So to me, when I first heard this trade, when I saw it happen from Adam Schefter, I'm just thinking, this is a typical Broncos, this is a typical John Elway kind of move to go get Joe Flacco here because he most resembles John Elway. And we talked to Benjamin Albright about this whenever we were talking about Drew Locke, that John Elway just has a certain type at QB.
Oh, absolutely. John Elway has a very particular type of quarterback, and it's John Elway. You know, he looks at guys that remind him of himself. You know, I have athleticism and a big arm. And, you know, and maybe he needed some refinement earlier in their careers, similar to the way John did. You can look and tell which quarterbacks the Broncos have drafted in recent years were John Elway's selections and which were Gary Kubiak's selections. You know, John Elway liked the big guy, big arm, and, you know, the aforementioned quarterbacks that you were talking about, plus Zach Dyser, were his guys, whereas the guys like Trevor Siemian and bringing in Case Keenum as a free agent were Gary Kubiak guys. So you can tell these guys tend to draft or bring in guys that remind them of themselves because that's what works for them.
So Joe Flacco reminds John Elway of John Elway is what he's trying to this is what gets me about these guys that were some of the greats to ever play the game that take over teams or managers or coaches. It almost never works. I mean, you guys can make fun of me for being an old guy here, but I think this is maybe the prime example. I mean, Ted Williams might have been the greatest hitter that ever played the game of baseball. And he managed the Washington Senators, and I think he managed the Texas Rangers. And he was awful because he wanted guys to be him. He wanted guys to do what he could do. If John Elway's trying to go out and find the next John Elway, he's never going to make it. Like, you can't go out and find that guy. I mean, has Michael Jordan, and see, you would know this better than anybody. Has Michael Jordan been a success as an executive in the NBA at all?
Not really.
Yeah. So if these guys that think that they're going to go out and find the next guy and they want him to be just like them, it fails every single time. John Elway in Denver, they got to be hating John Elway. You know how hard it is to probably be hated in Denver if you're John Elway? I think he's getting to that level. I mean, he is absolutely ruining this franchise right now with the quarterbacks that he picks. Does Trevor Siemian fit into that mix of John? I don't see how that even works. Tim Tebow sure as hell isn't a John Elway guy. I don't think John Elway knows what he wants.
I mean, you got to think Siemian wasn't supposed to be the quarterback. Mark Sanchez was supposed to be the quarterback. Siemian just beat him out of camp. So Trevor Siemian, I give him a little bit of a pass for this. This is the one thing I'll say about the Broncos and John Elway. Maybe this isn't the Kansas City thing to say. I think that everybody's a little bit premature on this. I actually don't think the trade for Joe Flacco is a bad trade.
You've been killing Joe Flacco forever, though, man.
I don't think the trade for Joe Flacco is that bad. You're going to trade a 2019 fourth-round draft pick for Joe Flacco, who I think is a little bit of an upgrade over Case Keenum. This would be my issue. This is why I would reserve a little bit of judgment for it. If this trade is Joe Flacco and you still draft a quarterback, I don't really think that's a bad strategy. If John Elway's plan is, as you were alluding to with Carl Peterson, it's not like they were getting Steve Bono plus the first-round draft pick.
Yeah.
It's not like they were getting Joe Montana plus spending a worthwhile investment at the quarterback position. If Joe Flacco is their 2 to 3 year plan at quarterback, I'm with everybody else. I think this is an absolutely terrible trade for the Denver Broncos. But they still have the 10th overall pick. I still believe they are infatuated with Drew Lock. If this trade for the Broncos is Joe Flacco, he's going to be the quarterback for a year. You then draft Drew Lock. There's no pressure on him to start next season. That sounds a lot like the Kansas City Chiefs. I will never fault the Chiefs for trading for Alex Smith. I will never fault the Chiefs for keeping Alex Smith that one extra year and then letting Patrick Mahomes sit, because I think we see at the end that ended up being a positive result for it. I think that people are maybe pushing. I think people are kicking the can down a road just a little bit prematurely in this. Let's see what the Broncos' next move is. I would say step two and step three. You've acquired Joe Flacco, who you think can be your quarterback for next season. Let's see what happens with Case Keenum. If you have to cut Case Keenum and then eat that $12 million, it is a terrible deal. If you can trade Case Keenum back to Minnesota, if you can trade him to Jacksonville, if you can trade him to the Giants and get that contract out of the book, it's not a bad trade. And then let's see what they do at the quarterback position when it comes to the NFL draft. I'm a little bit surprised that this happened pre-combine. You didn't even go to the combine to see Kyler Murray throw. You didn't even go to the combine to see Drew Lock throw. So again, I think everybody's being a little bit premature in crushing the Denver Broncos. If they draft Drew Lock, if they go get Dwayne Haskins, I still think I would say this is a good trade for the Denver Broncos. If this is Joe Flacco plus Josh Allen, if this is Joe Flacco plus Bosa from Ohio State, I think this is a bad trade for the Broncos.
But isn't the Broncos have done? They've tried to get a bridge quarterback how many times now? Case Keenum was supposed to be a bridge quarterback, right? I mean, he was supposed to be that guy. I mean, did you think Brock Osweiler was going to be the dude? At least with Carl Peterson, like, he got 4 years out of Steve DeBerg. He got one good year out of Dave Craig until he got Joe Montana for two. Then he had Bono for two. Then he had Gerbach and Gannon. And then he had Green for, what, 5 or 6 years? Like, I feel like John Elway keeps failing when it comes to the quarterback position.
But I would say is your goal is to not find a bridge quarterback for 4 years. Your goal is to find your quarterback in the draft. That's what I'm saying is.
He hasn't proved that he can do that either.
I'm with you. But yeah. I'm saying is they still got a top 10 pick. Let's see what they do here.
Yeah.
If they don't draft a quarterback in a meaningful spot, then I will join with you. The Broncos are dumb. Why would you believe in Joe Flacco? That's a dumb trade. But I feel like we at least got to know what their plan B is at quarterback and what their plan is for the future, because their plan for the future cannot consist of Joe Flacco. If you are trusting on Joe Flacco to be your quarterback in 2021, 2022, when the Chiefs got Patrick Mahomes, when Oakland has the fourth overall pick, they might go pick up Kyler Murray. Who knows what happens with the Chargers? Let's see what kind of move they make. You have made a very silly move here. So I just think we're being a little bit premature and we're jumping the gun without knowing what the next plan is for the Broncos.
So you'd be okay with this. And again, they can get out of Flacco's deal after next season. He's going to make $18.5 million and then they can get out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that may work. So I'm with you on that part. But if they don't trade Case Keenum and they hang on to Case Keenum, who they're paying a bunch of money to, and you've got Joe Flacco who makes $18.5 million, and you're going to go draft Drew Lock, I don't know what they're doing here. Like, that's the part that I don't get. So I'll give you that. Like, if they end up trading Case Keenum and getting something for him, and they use Flacco as their Alex Smith to groom Drew Lock, maybe that's their plan. And if that's the case, I can somewhat get on board with it.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get into the Royals as the Royals are down in spring training. And the news today regarding Ian Kennedy, as the Royals are entertaining the possibility of Ian Kennedy heading to the bullpen. But first, we got to talk about the first place team in the Big 12. And no, it is not Kansas. We'll talk about them coming up next. The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
This next tweet is from Ryan Harris out of Denver, Colorado. He's a Super Bowl champion. He now works in Denver, Colorado. The Joe Flacco move is brilliant. He has no guaranteed money. You can see what he has and release him before the season if there's nothing left in the tank. You also create competition at the quarterback position. You just got a former Super Bowl quarterback MVP for nothing. I just think that people are just jumping the gun on the Joe Flacco trade. You're right. I don't think Joe Flacco has a lot left in the tank. I think Joe Flacco's done. Like, I think Joe Flacco is completely washed. But I think we're crushing the Broncos without knowing what step two and step three is. Now, I think it's fair in not trusting John Elway to execute step two and step three.
Yeah.
But step one, you acquire the quarterback you think can be your starting quarterback for 2019. Now you got to find a way to get Case Keenum off the books. I don't care if you get a future seventh round draft pick for Case Keenum. You got to eat. You cannot eat that money. You cannot eat the $10 million for a backup quarterback. So you got to find a way to get him off the roster. And then if the Broncos still really like Drew Lock, this move doesn't stop you from going to get Drew Lock. You go get Drew Lock. You have him sit for a year, and then you decide who your quarterback is. I just feel like people are kind of jumping the gun on Elway and the Broncos.
Can't you just keep hang on to Case Keenum and still draft Drew Lock, and then you still got a fourth round pick? I mean, that's an option too.
I mean, I'm not really tripping off the fourth round pick when that's just an additional pick that you got for trading Demaryius Thomas. I mean, a fourth round draft pick to get a quarterback that you like coming from this upcoming season is just nothing. Like it just doesn't hold a lot of currency to me.
Is Flacco better than what they had? Like, is he better than Case Keenum?
I think so, but now we're kind of arguing, like, on Madden. Like, I think Flacco's probably a 79 on Madden. Case Keenum's, like, a 77 on Madden. So, it's a matter of preference. Like, I don't really want to argue that much over who you think is better,
sure,
Joe Flacco or Case Keenum, because both of them stink.
He's making more money, though.
Yeah.
He's making more money and requires an asset for you to be able to be able to trade for him in the first place. That's why I'm confused by the deal. If you wanted to go down this route, just keep Case Keenum and go ahead and draft Drew Lock. And you can go down that path. Keenum seems to be more open to the possibility of somebody learning under him, I would assume. Joe Flacco didn't exactly take to Lamar Jackson last year, so I don't know that that's going to be a great situation for whoever that young guy is they bring in.
I don't either. I mean, you just had another rooster to the hen house, man. You know, and it's something you didn't have to do. And again, doesn't this take away a little bit of leverage if you want to move Case Keenum now? So you go out and you get Joe Flacco, you sign Joe Flacco, you make a deal for Joe Flacco, and now they know you got to move Case Keenum?
But we just see all the time that quarterbacks are the ones that still hold value.
Fair.
I mean, last year we knew that the Chiefs had to trade Alex Smith. I mean, the Chiefs, there was no way the Chiefs were going to go into 2019 season.
Yeah, but Alex Smith's a lot better quarterback than Case Keenum.
I agree, but I'm saying is there was a situation of everybody in the world knew they had to trade him. They got Kendall Fuller and a third-round pick for it.
Yeah.
Everybody agrees that the Ravens had to trade him. The Ravens were not going to have Joe Flacco back on the roster. He was due $20 million. They got a fourth-round pick for it. Some team is going to trade for Case Keenum. That's just the one position that always hold value. Quarterbacks are kind of like MacBooks. Like, MacBooks just always retain their value. Someone is going to trade something of value for Case Keenum because he plays quarterback.
I wonder if the Broncos can go ahead and flip Flacco, too. I mean, maybe that's something they want to do as well. I don't know. I'm trying to figure this out. It just seems like a move that didn't have to be made. I mean, if you're going to draft Drew Lock, why give up a draft pick and take on the salary of Flacco?
Bruce Weber here in Austin picks up the W. They improve to 9-2 in the Big 12, and they have won 9 straight in conference. Kansas State, the win here tonight, 71-64. A really good win for the Wildcats.
I heard a couple of really good statistics. You know how much I love my stats. Mm-hmm. First stat I heard about the Kansas State Wildcats, 5-1 on the road in conference play. If you want to go win the league, that's what you got to do. It's not just about taking care of business at home, because we've seen KU do it. They go 9-0 in the Big 12 at home, and then they go on the road, and then they go 6-3, and then you're done. You got no chance of winning it. K-State have only had the one loss at home to Texas. Now, they got smoked in that game by Texas, but it doesn't matter at this point. On the road, 5-1. I heard another really good stat. Over this 9-game winning streak that K-State is on, they have beat every single team in the Big 12 conference. Not one team twice. They beat every team in the Big 12 over this 9-game stretch. That's impressive. You've shown the ability to take care of business at home. You've shown the ability to take care of business on the road. You've shown the ability to, it does not matter the environment. We are battle-tested enough. We've got enough senior leadership. We are deep enough to beat you anywhere. Ron said this as he was leaving out of here, and he said a really good point. Because a lot of times, and I think KU fans will take this to hate, I think a lot of times that whatever team is leading the Big 12 hands the Big 12 to Kansas. Kansas necessarily doesn't have to take it from them.
Yeah.
Like last year, Texas Tech, they'll go 2-4 down the stretch. KU just continue to play KU basketball.
Yeah.
They'll win the league. KU was going to have to play exceptional basketball, go 5-1 down the stretch, and take the conference from K-State. Because going on the road yesterday, we agree, it appeared a game you were a little bit vulnerable. You won at Baylor, just had an injury, back-to-back road games at Texas, didn't come home. Would have been no shame in losing that game on the road. You go, you take care of business, you get to 5-1 in conference play. K-State, they are not going to just hand the league over to Kansas.
I'll take it a step further. I think K-State may have won the Big 12 last night. I mean, they're coming off back-to-back road wins, one at Baylor, one at Texas, and you beat Kansas in Manhattan. Look what they did to Texas in the second half of that game, man. And Bruce Weber talked about this when Cartier Jada had the mysterious hand injury that we still don't know what it is and what caused it. He said, we're comfortable with adversity. K-State's extremely comfortable being uncomfortable. They have so much experience, and they have so much senior leadership. They can get through this stuff. But I think they won the league last night. I really do. So now they're sitting at 9-2, and KU's got 4 losses, and KU hasn't been able to win on the road, and K-State has. I don't see how – I mean, barring some crazy weird collapse, and I'm not saying it can't happen because we seem to see it every year in the Big 12, but barring that, I feel like K-State's going to win this. They might win it by 2 games. If they keep playing the way they are, I don't think they're going to run the table for sure. I don't think they're going to win in Lawrence. But, man, if you got three losses or four losses, you win this thing because KU will not run the table.
I would say, if anything, what K-State has done by continuing to take care of these games is there is no pressure for you to have to win in Lawrence.
Yeah.
You can lose in Lawrence, and it's perfectly fine. Like, right now, you're up two games in the loss column to it. I think most of us expect K-State to lose at Allen Fieldhouse. That's what they do. That's what everybody does when you go into Allen Fieldhouse. That only puts you at three conference losses. If you can just win your home games, win one of your next three road games, there's no reason why you can't win this league. I've been saying it. K-State shouldn't be thinking about sharing the conference title with KU. If you share this conference with Kansas, they're the only team that gets credit. Nobody talks about when K-State won a couple years ago. Nobody talks about these shared championships back in the 2000s with Texas. They only talk about KU winning the league. The goal for K-State needs to be, we need to win this thing outright. It's kind of like in boxing. You got to knock the champion out. You're not going to the cards and winning against the champion. K-State needs to be thinking about winning this league outright and being 5-1 on the road and over your nine-game winning streak, beating every other team in the conference. That's how you do it.
Yeah, and they started part of that knockout last night with winning at Texas. And honestly, see, I wouldn't ask me if K-State wins in Lawrence. As crazy as that sounds.
I'm not picking any team to win inside
And that's fair enough, and I understand that. But based on what Bill Self was saying about Marcus Garrett, I mean, that Marcus Garrett may not be back for a while. You know, we thought it was just going to be a couple of games. Then he didn't come back over the weekend. Then he didn't come back.
They got Grimes, though. I mean, you told me he was turning the corner. They got Quentin Grimes.
You know what?
Who needs Marcus Garrett? Who needs Vic whenever you got a Quentin Grimes on
your
roster?
They need a lockdown defender is what they need. I mean, to me, you know what Quentin Grimes is to me? Quentin Grimes to me is kind of like the Chiefs defense. You know where I got to that point in the Charger game where I gave up on the Chiefs defense? That TCU game might have been my give-up point for Quentin Grimes. I'm not kidding you. So that's the other one. I think K-State has a legitimate chance to go into Lawrence and win too. You know, I'm not saying I think it's highly unlikely K-State goes 7-0 throughout the rest of their Big 12 conference and runs the table and finishes 16-2 in the league. I don't see that happen. I think they're going to drop one somewhere, and it probably is going to be in Lawrence. But I wouldn't put it past this group to go into Lawrence and get a win over KU. We both agree that they're a better basketball team, and this Kansas team. And I think it's universal now, is maybe the worst team that Bill Self has had in a long time, maybe ever, at Kansas. So I wouldn't put it past me if on Big Monday they roll in there and they get it done against KU.
Bill Self has never lost on Big Monday.
I understand
He's won like 95% of his games at home. If you want to be on the side of the 5% of the 6%, be on that side. I'm going to always roll with the 95% that KU and Adidas are going to take care of business at home in Allen Fieldhouse.
Listen, I had the stones to sit out there and pick the Chiefs against the Patriots in week one when you told me that 99% of teams, Super Bowl champions, open on Thursday night, always win at home when it happens, and I picked the Chiefs. I think this K-State team is different, and I think we've seen that over the last couple of weeks because typically a K-State team coming off a big emotional bucket list win, as they called it, over Kansas, they drop one at Baylor, and they drop one at Texas, and they didn't do that. They held Texas to 25 points in the second half last night. Their defense is suffocating.
I think if anything, though, as we've been talking about, I don't know if you have to win that kind of game. I look at it right now. They got seven games remaining left in the Big 12. I would say taking care of business in the game against Baylor, in the game against Texas, means you don't have to go 7-0 down the stretch.
Right.
This K-State team can go 5-2. They can go 4-3 and probably still win this league. I would say 4-3 is the worst you can do until expect to win this league. I've been calling it the race to 13. You're at 9 right now, and you've got 4 home games remaining. If you win all 4 of your home games, even if you drop all 3 of your road games, I still think you'll be fine to do it. But given how you've played on the road, if you can win all 4 of your home games, even if you lose at KU, all you got to do is win at West Virginia or at TCU, and you win the league outright, my mind.
Yeah, I mean, and look at what they've done on the road, too. I mean, you're winning at Iowa State in a nail-biter. You know, you played Texas Tech tough right out of the gate in your second Big 12 game and lost. I thought that was a respectable loss for K-State at the time. And then they haven't lost a Big 12 game since. Your road games are at West Virginia, at KU, and at TCU. They ain't losing to West Virginia, not the way they're playing right now. And they're going to beat Iowa State on Saturday, too, at home, in my opinion, in Manhattan. I'd be shocked if they dropped that game. I think they're sitting pretty, and that's why I think that they probably won the Big 12 last night.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll switch gears and talk a little Royals baseball as they're kicking things off in Surprise, Arizona. Ian Kennedy is about to go to the bullpen, and I'm not going to tell you guys I'm mad about it. We'll get into it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Back in on The Drive, in a shocking piece of audio, Ian Kennedy is willing to do whatever it takes to help the Royals win.
If it helps us win, And you ask any of the assists who are competing for a job in the rotation, we'd rather have us, whatever, if they want me to be back there at the end of the games, or Phil Meyer or Lopi or whatever, whoever's going to be back there, right, that meaningful innings, and as long as we're winning, that's all that matters. So that's what we're here for.
Okay. So that was Ian Kennedy earlier today.
You don't sound very happy about that.
I don't think any Royals fan should be happy about this news today about Ian Kennedy. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I know I don't have the greatest memory in the world, but I feel pretty confident about this. Whenever Dayton Moore brought in Ian Kennedy and tried to explain the signing to us, the number one thing he told us about Ian Kennedy was that he could eat innings, right?
That's correct.
That was his big thing was.
And he did it in his first year. He pitched 195 and two-thirds.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not like Ian Kennedy was Clayton Kershaw coming in here. Not like he was Dallas Keuchel coming in here. Ian Kennedy, for the most part, has been exactly as advertised. An average to below average pitcher. That's what he's been for most of his career. But the Royals were banking on the concept of, because remember, Yordano Ventura wasn't an eating dinner. Danny Duffy, at that point, wasn't a guy that ate a lot of innings. Mm-hmm. They were at least banking on, maybe we don't get 200 great innings from Ian Kennedy, but he's a guy we know that can eat innings. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Can you eat innings from the bullpen? That's just not really how it works.
Not as many, no.
No, that's just not how it works. What's the most number of innings we think Ian Kennedy's getting this year if he is going to be in the bullpen the entire year? 80? 90?
Maybe.
Yeah. That's at the high end.
I mean, you probably put him as a middle reliever guy. Maybe a seventh inning guy. I would say probably middle reliever dude.
But this contract, I would say, has already been bad for the Royals. If you had asked me before, let's say last week, what would you give the Ian Kennedy grade? I would have said like a C-, maybe a D+. If he is now going to be in the bullpen for not just 1 year left on this deal, 2 years left in this deal, this is an F. There's no other way to look at this deal as being an F for the Royals.
I think what the Royals are trying to do right now is trying to make the best of a bad situation. They're trying to keep him healthy. So, you know, in 2014, Ian Kennedy pitched 201 innings. He's done that three times in his career. He started 33 games his first year in Kansas City and gave you 195 and two-thirds innings. Pretty good. You'll take that. Innings eater. You'd probably like his ERA to be a little bit better for sure. I get it. I understand that part of it. But, you know, he gave you 30 starts the following year. Then last year he was dinged up a bunch. I think the Royals are just trying to make the best of a bad situation. Ned was talking earlier today, and one of the reasons they brought Homer Bailey in is to be a starter. And if that's the case, there probably is not a spot for Ian Kennedy, especially if you want to put the Lopez kid in the rotation. I'm not ruling it out that Ian Kennedy could be a starter, but I'm trying to put my mind in the mind of Dayton Moore right now. We're paying this guy $16.5 million right now, and we're paying him $16.5 million next year too. We got to get something out of him. We can't have him on the DL, and we can't have him making just 22 starts. So what's the best way to use him and keep him healthy? And it's putting him in the pen. I don't like paying a reliever $16.5 million. I went back and I looked at this. The highest paid relievers in baseball right now. He'd be the second highest paid reliever in all of baseball, way above Wade Davis. And only below Aroldis Chapman, and he'd be tied with Kenley Jansen. Like, that's too much money for Ian Kennedy to put him in the pen. I get it when you got to move, like, Luke Hochaver down there. I get it when you got to move Wade Davis down there. I get it when you got to move some of those guys. But when you're paying a guy that much money, you need him to be a lockdown closer. And that's not what Ian Kennedy is.
And I would say the Royals have far too many guys that's what they have to say to justify the deal. Well, the deal didn't work out the way we wanted, so let's get something out of the deal.
Yeah.
And that's maybe just the frustrations and the limitations of the sport. Because if Ian Kennedy was a Red Sox, it wouldn't be we're moving him to the bullpen. It's we're buying out his contract, and he's not taking up a roster spot.
Yeah.
Now, I understand that the Royals can't eat this money, and maybe you can't trade him and get the value that you want for.
Yeah.
But if Ian Kennedy cannot start for the Kansas City Royals and do the thing that you hired him to do at the beginning, he doesn't need to be on the roster.
Let me ask you this.
They owe him $33 million. $33 million. And then you're not even telling me he's going to be their closer.
No.
That would be one thing. If you're telling me that Ian Kennedy can now turn into an all-star closer, still a bad deal for the Royals. But you can now you're going from a guy that you thought could eat 200 innings, 190 innings, to now he can maybe be your break in case of emergency if a starter can't go the full five innings. You have him come in for 3 1/3. Come on now. You could argue this is the worst contract Dayton signed.
I would agree with you on that. I think it is, at least for what you've got out of him, for sure. But let me throw this at you too, okay? We know why the Royals were signing the Lucas Dudas and the John Jays of the world, right? And probably the same reason they signed Billy Hamilton. is that they want to create value with a player and then trade him at the deadline and get something for him. What if that's what they're trying to do with Ian Kennedy? What if what they're trying to do is create value for Ian Kennedy so when we come around to July 31st and there's a team with a ton of money out there that needs to add an arm, needs to add a guy in the bullpen, needs to add a guy that can be a fifth starter or a backup starter and can give you good innings in the playoffs. What if that's what they're doing? What if they're just trying to create value for a contract that they know that they got wrong? I mean, I think that's a possibility too.
Let me ask you this. How much money do you think the Royals played Lucas Duda last year?
Not much. It was like a couple million bucks maybe.
He made $3 million from the Royals.
Yeah.
How much money do you think they paid John Jay?
Yeah, not much.
Not a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
How much money are they paying for Ian Kennedy?
Yeah, it's $16.5 million. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe they're trying to create value for him.
You could do that right now. I don't care how good Ian Kennedy is in the role that they have him in. No team is going to take the Royals out of that contract. You got to spend money to get out of that deal.
Yeah, well, you probably have to eat some of it for sure.
You probably got to eat a lot of this.
But if you can get a draft pick, if you can make a deal for him and you say, okay, we'll eat X amount of the contract for Ian Kennedy if you take him. You know, because the Royals have tried to unload him before.
They've been trying to trade Ian Kennedy from the moment they signed him to that contract.
Which is why I think maybe they're trying to change his role and change who he is and put him in a different spot and keep him healthy and add value to him. And if they can do that and eat at least part of that contract and get a draft pick back in return for him, maybe they consider that a win. Because I can't think that the Royals are sitting back and thinking, man, this is a good deal for us. Like, this is a good contract that we signed because they backloaded this thing with Ian Kennedy, and it's ridiculous. It was player option stuff. Of course he's going to – yeah, I'm going to take the option. $16.5 million.
Why would you not?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the only thing that I could come up with by putting him in the pen.
I don't know when they get rid of Ian Kennedy. Maybe they pay Ian Kennedy every dollar of this $33 million that they owe him, which would be the absolute worst-case scenario for the Kansas City Royals. I'll say this. Whenever they choose to get out of this deal – I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it's in 5 months. I don't know if it's in 3 weeks. They will eat at least 70% of it. That's
probably
just how baseball works.
Yeah, probably.
That's just how baseball works. Yeah. So if you're in that spot right now, man, I would be trying to create roster space for people that we think is going to be on the team long term. That was always my frustration with the Royals last year is you can't tell me that you're trying to play the young guys if you're playing Lucas Duda over them, if you're playing John Jay over them. If you don't think Ian Kennedy can be a starter for the Royals, admit your mistake. Be willing to write off the $30 million that you owe.
Yeah, they can't
him
do that, though,
man. And then get something.
The Royals can't do that. They're not just going to eat $32 million for this guy. I mean, that's stupid. And that's why, I mean,
I would say they're eating it right now by having him pitch in the sixth inning.
I understand
as
that.
A relief.
But again, if they can create value for him and create a different role for him that has value for a team that's in contention at the deadline, and if they – wouldn't you rather pay 70% of something than 100% of something and get something back in return for it? I mean, that's the only thing that I can come up with what the Royals are doing here. Ian Kennedy breaks down, whether it's a hamstring, whether it's this, whether it's that. That's typically happened over the last couple of years.
So the odds are that he'll probably break down before he can earn the value to trade him.
Well, what I'm saying is if you use him as a reliever, you don't use him as much. You try to keep him healthy, you know, turn him into some sort of a reliever that some team will come after and you only have to pay a portion of that deal.
Whose contract is worse right now for the Royals, Kennedy's or Gordon?
Oh, I think it's Ian Kennedy's. It's not even close. At the very least, you get Gordon, you know, as a defender every single game. What do you get him, 150 games a year if you want to put him out there, maybe even more? So to me, it's Ian Kennedy's because I know you guys make fun of me for my love of defense in baseball, but it is part of the game. I mean, Ian Kennedy right now, you get him every fifth day. You get Gordo's defense every single day. And I think once Gordo is gone and whoever they put in left field, people in Kansas City will start to see how much of a drop-off it'll be. So to me, it's Ian Kennedy's over Gordo's for sure. Because, well, the other part of it too, you got another year on Kennedy's thing, and you don't have one on Gordo's.
I would say, for the most part, Alex Gordon has done most of what you wanted him to do. Now, I don't know how many of us thought that a bat was going to completely fall off the way that it has, but for the most part, Alex Gordon has continued to be an elite-level defender.
Yeah.
Even if you don't think he's the Alex Gordon of 2014, 2015, he is an elite-level defender.
Absolutely.
What is Ian Kennedy? Like, legitimately, I'm saying is, at this point in the contract and at his age, we should at least know. I don't know if he's a reliever. We think he could be a reliever. But I don't know if he's a good seventh-inning guy for you. I don't know if he's a good eighth-inning guy for you.
It's certainly a change.
I don't know if he's a good closer for you. Yeah. He's certainly not a guy, at least right now, that does not appear to have outward trust that he's a guy that can eat six, seven innings for you.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be a closer. I mean, I think that's why they went and got Brad Boxberger. So I don't think they're looking at Ian Kennedy as a closer. You know, maybe they are. Maybe they'll say, hey, listen, we'll put Boxberger as the setup guy, bring Kennedy in. And I don't know. But it is going to be a change for him one way or the other. And you never really know how this stuff's going to go. I mean, you don't.
Just based on Ian Kennedy, I don't think it's going to go very well.
Okay. Well, I mean, this could be an attempt to keep him healthy and add value to him, and I understand that.
I would just go ahead and eat that contract right now. It's over. Like, the Ian Kennedy experiment, you really tried it when you had a chance in 2015 and 2016. It didn't work. I'd be just trying to create opportunities for guys you think can be on the team long term. And I think the Royals a little bit today waved the white flag, and they acknowledge the Ian Kennedy contract is bad for the Kansas City Royals. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll all take a minute, and we'll give you a chance to win $25 in a gift card to Twin Peaks. Coming up next, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Well, let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Back in on The Drive, we'll all take a minute coming up here momentarily, but a little bit of breaking news in the NFL. Jeremy Fowler, who covers the Steelers for ESPN, he wrote a nice piece on Antonio Brown, the financial fallout, the timeline, kind of encapsulated everything that's happened. He talked to one NFL general manager that says that the Steelers are going to ask for a first-round pick for Antonio Brown. I do not think they're going to get a first-round pick for Antonio Brown, but he also spoke to two other league executives and thinks that Brown on the open market would be worth a second or a third-round pick. I could see Brown going for something similar to what Marcus Peters got last year. A little bit different. Peters still on a rookie contract, but still under contract for two more years. Antonio Brown still under contract for two more years. Certainly not a crippling contract. I do think Antonio Brown gets traded at some point. I think that they've reached a point of no return with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll go second and fourth is probably what Antonio Brown finally gets moved for whenever he gets traded from the Steelers.
Yeah, I'm more curious to where he's going to land, and I just hope he doesn't land in the division. I mean, I don't think he's going to land in Denver. Maybe Oakland, but I kind of doubt it. My biggest fear is that Antonio Brown finds his way to L.A. with Phillip Rivers and the Chargers.
I think he's going to go to the San Francisco 49ers. If you ask me right now to pick, I think that I think Antonio Brown ends up with the Niners. They make a lot of sense. You got a nice core of offense right there. You put him with Jimmy Garoppolo. He goes to the West Coast. They got a lot of cap space available. Put me down for the San Francisco 49ers. I think Antonio Brown ends up playing for them next season. Coming up in about 5 minutes or so, we'll learn more about our producer, Brandon Kiley, with Brandon's Random Facts. But, BK, hit me. So, as you guys know, the ice and snow has just, it has been a damper on this winter. This has been one of the most miserable winters that I think we've had in Kansas City. I want to play this audio for you because this is maybe the worst part about my state. And I love Missouri, tried and true. I've lived every day of my life in Missouri. But we got to get our road stuff down. MoDOT, whatever they're calling themselves these days, we got to fix this problem. Listen to this. 1,400 potholes have been reported in the Kansas City area. The ones in Kansas are going to get fixed. The one in Missouri will never get fixed.
Last winter at this time, we had 256 potholes that were reported to our 3117. This year, 1,400. And that's just the ones that have been reported. So that is five times as many potholes reported this year for the first 6 months. We're trying to get caught up. And of that 1,400, 802 have been repaired already. That still leaves 600 to go.
They're trying to get caught up. I don't know about you guys, but what I know about MoDOT and what I know about the city of Kansas City, Missouri, when it comes to potholes, that those potholes will be fixed around the same time that the Royals compete for the playoffs again. Those potholes are going to be there for a very long time. I'm telling you, this has been one of the worst winters that we've had in a long time. And it's going to snow and ice and sleet and all that stuff again this weekend. This sucks. Those of you
is
that
it really
like the
this
winter.
Weekend?
Yeah, it's Friday going home. It's supposed to snow
again.
Are
you serious?
Yeah, people are talking about already canceling school on Friday because it's going to be bad again driving home. Yeah, it's going to be terrible again.
I have to drive to St. Louis Friday night. That's going to go well.
Those of you that say you like the winter and how you hate the summer, you deserve all of this. I'm telling you, you deserve every single ice storm, every freezing rain, all of this stuff. This is terrible. Spring, please come. That's my minute for the day.
You think they can bring some of that asphalt over here to the Intercom parking lot, too? I mean, maybe.
I ain't got nothing to say about Intercom. I think Intercom's doing a great job.
I'm just saying, you got to watch it out there, man.
Spectre, I think we're doing a fantastic job.
Well, Spec's not in charge of asphalt out there. Listen, on the Kansas side.
Spectre's boss, you're doing a fantastic job.
There's a few out there, man. I might drown in some of those that are that big. Give me a minute, please, BK. See, now, you know how you talk about the things that we can count on each and every year in our great city in Kansas City?
That's real.
Okay, well, here's one of them, too. This happened today at spring training. Cody Tapp, our new Royals insider, with Ned Yost.
Do you think Mondesi can be a 162-game shortstop? Do you see that from, like, you've had that for
time? How long have we been here? We've been here now, what is this? We ain't even gone on 5 minutes. You want Mondesi to play 162 games? Again, we'll see. I don't know. You know, he's coming in a great frame of mind. He's really made tremendous headway last year. And what he's capable of doing, doesn't matter what I think.
Ned getting semi-pissed is kind of like the Plaza Arts Festival. The lights coming on down to the plaza. Ned getting a little chippy in that first spring training media availability. It's something you count on each and every year. It's like the beginning of baseball season, man. You know it's officially spring training when Ned kind of gets chippy. I loved it today. Poor Cody.
I'm all for the jokes. Cody's question's a very fair one. Yeah, you want to point that out? Cody asked a very fair. That's the only question about Mondesi is can he stay healthy?
Here's the thing, though, man. Like on the first day of pitchers and catchers reporting, like you start asking Ned, hey, who do you think your opening day starter is going to be? He's going to light up whoever asks him that. He does it every single year. He gets chippy when reporters try to project what's going to happen over the course of the season when they got what 5-6 weeks of spring training. But Ned's funny. Like, the thing with Ned, you just got to fire back. If you fire back, you're great with Ned.
I got no problem with the chippiness of, I just think that in the media, enough of us ask dumb questions that deserve to be mocked. That's that when true. People ask really good questions, I would just hand them a little differently. Like, asking who your opening day starter is, that's a pretty relevant question. I want to know. Asking if you're a little concerned about Mondesi, we've been at some of those media availabilities where I sat in a media availability where a woman asked Bill Self if Wilt Chamberlain had reached out to Andrew Wiggins before. I've been around some media availabilities where people have asked some dumb questions before.
Yeah.
That seemed like a legitimate question to me.
I just been at a bunch of those first spring training media availabilities, and if you start asking Ned if somebody's playing 162 games or not, that's the answer you're going to get.
When I was covering Mizzou, there's a lot of student reporters that are out there. Yeah. One of them once asked Matty Mock, why are you guys so bad right now?
Oh, good.
Just that was the question. Okay.
What was the answer?
Matty was actually pretty decent with the media. He had his other issues, but he just the same thing you would expect.
I actually appreciate a question like that. Short, quick, and to the point. Yo, y'all trash. Why? That's a good question, actually. You guys have been in that situation. It takes balls to ask that kind of question. Like, everybody wants to ask that kind of question. Yeah. Few people will actually ask that question. I don't know who that person was or how old they was. I actually give them a lot of credit.
They still in the business or no?
I don't think so.
I got Sports Center right now with that kind of coot spot.
All right, for my minute today, I would like to talk about the best part of being home. I'm from Kansas City. I went to Blue Springs High School. I've been away from the city for quite some time. I went to Mizzou and ended up at St. Louis, or in St. Louis, to have the job out there. One of the things that happens, and you guys probably know this, when you are away for a while, is you lose track of some of the relationships that you had in the past. And one of those relationships for me was with my dad. I wasn't all that close with my dad, right? We had an on-again, off-again relationship growing up. Parents were divorced when I was growing up. Last night, I went to dinner with my dad on a weeknight for the first time in probably 10 years.
I love it.
Pretty cool thing. So the best thing for me of moving back home was being able to see my pops on a random Tuesday, Wednesday night, going out, grabbing a burger and grabbing some beers together. That is my minute today. It's good to be back home.
Oh, that's great, man. I love hearing that stuff. And fathers and sons, man, whether your parents are divorced or not, those relationships can be contentious. You know what I mean? A couple of Rams button heads growing up. I love hearing that, BK.
I will say that I thought it was going to be like a there was some girl from high school that you used to talk to that you saw. And I didn't know it was going to be as serious as it was. I didn't know it was going to be a heartfelt Father's Day story that you were going
to
share.
Hey, you know, we're getting close to Valentine's Day.
I thought it was going to be like, yo, I was back home and there was this shorty that I used to talk to in high school and now she was bad. That's what I thought the story was going to be. I didn't know it was, oh, I had dinner with my dad yesterday. I didn't know it was going to be that.
Hey, you know, I mean, it could have gone the other way.
I thought it was going to be a lifetime story.
All right, let's get into three random facts.
I wanted much more of an E story, but it was a freeform
story. My first
story.
Random fact for you guys today. I've actually been a server at three different restaurants in my life. Joe's Crab Shack, Olive Garden, and Buffalo Wild Wings. Three of the best restaurants in the world.
I think every kid should have to be a server. I really agree
with that, actually.
I think they need to go out there and provide service to someone else and have to deal with people. I love it.
Did you just say Buffalo Wild Wings is one of the best restaurants in the world? Was that just uttered on this radio station?
Is B-Dubs a sponsor with us? Do they do any?
They might be, so yeah.
I think they know they ain't one of the best restaurants in the world. I ain't got no issues with Buffalo Wild Wings, but come on, you got to be realistic here.
I'm not a huge fan of B-Dubs, but I've had worse.
Now they're not
going
to be a sponsor.
Number two random facts of the day. If I had to rank my five favorite TV shows of all time, it would go number one is The Wire, number two, Breaking Bad, number three, The West Wing,
Number four, The Shield. Have you guys seen The Shield?
I've seen the first season of it.
Yeah, good show. I thought that was a good show.
Number five, Friday Night Lights. Wire, Breaking Bad, West Wing, Shield, and Friday Night Lights.
I'm actually on my fourth watch right now of Friday Night Lights. I am
great
in
show.
Season three.
Fantastic.
I just got, I was laying in bed last night, and my wife hates it when I do this. And it's not necessarily with TV shows with me, it's movies. So, like, you know, like the last 30 minutes of Caddyshack was on. We're laying in bed. I pop it on. She's like, no, we're not. I can't get, like, you guys are, like, I can't imagine watching a TV series, like, four times. But I've watched Caddyshack. I've watched The Bourne. I've watched a bunch of movies, like, 60 times probably.
I feel like TV shows are actually easier to rewatch multiple times.
Because
it's so, well, that and it's just so different because you got a different episode every time as opposed to watching the same movie, which is essentially two episodes of a TV show in terms of time and just rewatching that 20 times over again. My final random fact of the day, I've officially converted. I enjoy daily fantasy football more than season-long fantasy football at this point.
Are most millennials that way? I mean, most guys like in their 20s and 30s, are they most with the daily thing? That almost seems like a younger guy thing, like an attention span thing.
I think it kind of depends on who your friends are. Like, I know a lot of people that have season-long leagues with their friends. They just had them for a long time.
Yeah, those are the best kinds. If you've got a good league, and I've got a couple of, like, the home leagues where you've got some of your buddies from high school or whatever, those are the best kinds of leagues. But I like the daily fantasy better because there's more strategy that goes into it over the course of the entire season. Mm-hmm. You can prepare throughout the week for just one weekend, and then you start again the next week. And there's more money to be won as well.
So well, that makes sense. Nice. All right, now we're talking.
Those are my three random facts for
those
the
are
day.
Good random facts today, BK.
You guys will be very happy to know that I just received a tweet from someone very important. It is Missouri Department of Transportation, Kansas City.
They just sent me a tweet.
Really?
Nice. I love it.
Hey, at C. Harrison, we're doing the best we can, the fastest we can, regarding potholes. We've seen a large number of winter/snow events that hamper how fast we can get to them, but we're working. MoDOT, I don't know who did this. Thank you for listening to the show. You're one of the five people that listen in the 2 o'clock hour, so I'm telling you this from the bottom of my heart. I'm very thankful for this. But
yeah, I knew there was a butt coming.
I'm about being honest with ourselves and our limitations. There's some things we're not good at. Like, we got meetings at 10:45 every day. I'll show up like 10:51. I know that. I know that going into
that's
it. That's what,
bit,
to, that's what time I'm showing up every day.
A little bit generous.
Everybody knows that. MoDOT, Kansas City, we do a lot of things really well. Hospitality, great place. Barbecue, great food city. We don't do road construction very well at all. If there's one like iconic thing, it's not the fountains in Kansas City. It's orange road cones. Those are sprinkled all around town, everywhere. Tell me where you can go in Kansas City right now and not see significant road construction. I'm telling you, you guys aren't good at this. You guys do a lot of things well in Kansas City. Road construction and snow removal, we're at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to major cities and taking care of that. So maybe you guys are working as fast as you can regarding potholes. But I'm going to tell you guys this. The moment you fix one pothole knowing Missouri, another one's going to pop up. And then it's going to take you 3 months to figure that one out. We ain't good at it. Kansas is much better than us. Now, Kansas, they're not better than us at a lot of things.
Yeah.
But when it comes to fixing potholes, Kansas is much better than Missouri.
Did you see, I think it was after the first big snow we had, somebody took a picture of State Line Road, and the Kansas side was, like, perfect, and the Missouri side was not. I mean, it was awful.
Definitely probably Photoshop.
Is that what it was?
You know, fake news gets spread on the internet all the time.
So I think
Fanning tried to do that earlier with us, too.
What are you talking about?
You definitely fell for a Facebook story today.
Yeah, I don't
today.
Remember what
hey,
it was.
Hey, you guys heard?
No, that was you're talking about the bomb threat thing.
No, we're talking about the McDonald's fries that cure baldness, which sounds directly from Facebook.
No, but it was. I think there were some news stations were picking that story up too.
Yeah,
some chemical in there that can cure baldness.
They pick up fake stories all the time. Well, you ever watch the news?
That's a good. Not much anymore. I worked in it for 20 years.
I mean, yesterday we watched the news where a guy says he doesn't believe in germs because he can't see them.
That's
so
a good point.
Just because I heard it on the news. We've seen in 2018, 2019, I saw it on the news, so it must be true, is maybe the worst time ever to use that
I can
sentence.
Tell you this, man. If that was the case, I'd be eating McDonald's fries every day. And I've had my share of them, and I'm bald.
When did you go bald?
You know, it happened. 12. No, that's not true.
13.
Like, the first time I really noticed it, I was playing golf in the Wichita Open, and I was probably 28 at the time.
I only got 2 years.
Yeah, and then and I didn't wear a hat when I played, and I woke up the next day, and the top of my head was sunburned. And that's when it really started to hit me. And then one time we were sitting in a newsroom, and I was working on a script, and there was a guy like in the newsroom doing a live shot, and I looked up at the monitor, and I'm like, man, who's that dude? Looks like he has a yarmulke on. He looks like a, you know, one of those friars, you know, where they the top of the head's bald. I looked up, and it was me. And that's kind of when I figured, like, holy crap, like, I'm losing it, man. I looked at Propecia, all that stuff, and I'm like, man, I'm not taking a pill for this. And so it finally took me probably 7 more years before I just finally mowed it down and said, screw it, I'm going to embrace it.
Just got to let it go, man.
That's true.
Got to let go and let God.
I don't understand the toupee thing with guys. I really don't get that. Like, I don't understand it. Everybody knows when you're wearing one.
You should ask Bill Self that next time we see him.
Yeah, maybe we need to get.
I was wondering if that was coming.
Yo, Bill, what's good?
We need a student. You know, there's a lot
Bill,
of people.
Bill, it's
that,
over.
You know, how many people are out there that think that he doesn't
wear. Conference freak, it's over.
How many people are out there that think he doesn't wear a toupee? There's a lot of people that don't believe that he has fake hair.
I think there's a group of KU people that today. I think if Bill Self came on here today and said it was Monday and was emphatic that it was Monday,
people would buy it.
There'd be a group of people like, you guys know what he meant. No, I don't actually know what he meant. He kept saying today was Monday. So I think that Bill's one of those people that there's a large group of people that think that's his natural hair.
I always kind of wondered like what he does at night with that thing. Does he have like a styrofoam head that he puts it on? Does he roll with that when he's in Ames the night before a game? I've always been curious about it.
Do you think Adidas gets them to do one every year?
Maybe. I think so. Sure. I think it's Adidas. They're in the toupee business.
Pop quiz.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
Today's pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The winner gets $25 to Twin Peaks. Today's pop quiz is a TV show. BK, take it away.
Please do not roll your eyes at me. You can show me some respect.
Paige, you started lying to us?
I didn't lie.
Well, you certainly don't seem to know the difference.
Do you?
Dad. Lie.
Stop! What are you doing? Stop it!
This book tells you to do that!
Philip.
Touch it!
If you know what TV show that is, be calling number 6 to 913-576-7610. Coming up in 2 minutes, don't turn that dial. We had an ear on Denver Sports Talk Radio. We'll get you their reaction to signing Joe Flacco. We'll do that next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.